Did I mention America's team? Yes, I did. We're talking Browns football. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Browns. Let me run down these numbers quickly. 62 tackles, 11 tackles for a loss, 3 forced fumbles, a sack and a half, and INT. All of that in 12 games last season. He had a touchdown. He was a Butkus Award winner. He was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He was a unanimous All-American. 52nd pick in this year's draft out of Notre Dame. We are joined right now by Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Jeremiah, good to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm glad you guys. Appreciate it to be on the show.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for making time. It's been a few days since you got that call, but how does it feel to be a member of the Cleveland Browns and to officially be in the National Football League?
Jeez, man. We'll start with the first one, man. Just to be a Cleveland Brown, man, just means a lot. Terms of the culture that they are building, in terms of the winning program that I'm being engulfed into, and I'm glad to be there. In terms of being in the NFL, man, it's been a dream of mine, and to have your dreams come to reality is an immense pleasure. So,
yeah, I appreciate that, Jeremiah. In terms of the draft itself, if you were to go back to Friday night, the moment you got that call from Cleveland, maybe you had to wait a little bit longer than you had expected. So, what was it like when that call did finally come in? What do you remember about that specific moment?
I remember a lot in terms of just the feelings that were going through my body, just the understanding that I would be selected. But most importantly, I think I was just anxious to get to work. As soon as I answered the phone call, I was talking with the guys, and I was just thinking about what's to come after. I was thinking about what's the next steps, but I was also enjoying the moment as well.
Right. So there was a report that a heart issue had been detected, and that might have been a reason why you fell in the draft. What was your reaction to that report, and then what was the entire draft experience like from that regard?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get news, you get a lot of news, within the draft and the process that's, going through. But, there was something that came up in terms of what guys were saying. But in terms of me, in terms of the personal aspect, there was no really heart issues at all. There was nothing that was too ticked off. And, we went back to Notre Dame and looked at the medical records and everything. I never really had any heart issues or anything going on there. But you hear a lot of things, but you got to get it from the source. But
see, you're telling me it's the source. There's nothing to be concerned about right here. You're not concerned about it, so nobody else should be either.
There you go.
All right, so, I ran down your list of accomplishments at the very top, and your honor is at the top of the conversation, but what jumps out to me even more than the awards is that when you're on the field, the way you get after it, the way you hit, where does that mindset and that mentality come from?
What a foundation. Even throughout Little League, man, I've been playing with certain coaches that have an aggressive mindset in terms of being physical, in terms of always being a competitor, no matter who, no matter who the opponent is, and that's the art of the game, just being able to respect your opponent enough to give 100% every time and to make sure that you always come with a physical capacity, because it's a physical game. So, my foundation in terms of where I'm from, my foundation in terms of, how I carry myself and the things that I want to accomplish in life, are the result of how I play the game. So,
Jeremiah, you mentioned that foundation of where you're from. I was going to ask you about that. You grew up in Virginia. You were in the 757. What was life like in the 757? And in terms of foundation, how much did that form the way you are right now and the way you play on the field?
It's all about attitude, man. It's coming from the 757, you got a lot of guys with swag. You got a lot of guys with uniqueness, unique athletic ability, but also unique mindsets. I said it before in terms of the competition level. We didn't have the greatest resources, I would per se, but in terms of our attitudes, in terms of how we carry ourselves, wanting to leave the place that we are in better than we found it was, a huge thing in terms of how we carried ourselves day in and day out. So it was always a competitive mindset, and it was always a mindset that, we have a chip on our shoulders. So,
Jeremiah, for those who do not know, when you talk about that 757 mentality and how it shows up, we're talking about the guys who came before you. We're talking about guys like Allen Iverson, Michael Vick. When you're growing up there and you've got guys like that who are role models, in terms of competitiveness, drive, fire, grit, how much did that influence you?
Man, it influenced a lot, man. Even some of the names that you just named, just looking at the guys and how they come back and how they give back. And we watched some film on them, and just how relentless they are. I think that's the greatest word. You know, these guys are very relentless in terms of, you know, perfecting their craft. And, you know, obviously the school of art they're in terms of football, in terms of basketball, in terms of any sport, it's just, you know, it's almost ingrained in terms of where we're from. It's, you know, some may say it's in the water.
So exactly right. So let me ask you this: if it's that important, and it is, where you're from, and so much of your mentality is about where you're from, you were originally going to go to the University of Virginia, but then you changed to Notre Dame. What happened there, and what was it about Notre Dame that appealed to you so much?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I like to hit on the where you from. Where you from is 757, but you know, Charlottesville, Virginia is a little bit out of the area. You go, nevertheless. Man, it was really about, you know, authenticity to me, and you know, not that UVA wasn't authentic, but in terms of Notre Dame, in terms of Coach Clark Lee and the scheme and how he presented himself, and you know, his ability to be able to understand the young man, and not only understand the young man in terms of the football aspect, but also understand the development of the young man off the field, was something that was special to me. And on top of Notre Dame's degree value and the academic accomplishments and them being traditionally sound, you know, all those came to mind in terms of my decision. And it was almost a no-brainer, you know, when I really got embedded in culture and I really understood what I wanted. So.
Yeah, Jeremiah, let me go back to Clark Lee, who you mentioned. A couple of months back, I spoke with him, and he did coach you at Notre Dame before he took over as head coach at Vanderbilt. Man, I could not have been more impressed with what I had heard from him. In fact, I'm a middle-aged dude, but I felt like putting on a helmet and going to battle for this guy. Like, what was he like as a coach, and what did you take away from your time with him?
Well, he's kind of the perfect coach that you want, man. He's understandable, but most importantly, he's a guy that is not overly on one side of the coaching aspect. He's not too much on the, you know, tough love, or he's not too much aggressive. He's not too much calm, but he's kind of like in the middle. He knows that it's a time and a place for everything. And, you know, that's truly an art when a coach can understand that it's a time and a place for everything. It's a time to do this, it's a time to do that. And that's what he really taught us in terms of being a leader, is also just being humble, just being a student first. Being the same man every day, you know, taught us the art of words in terms of competition, that, you know, you can't listen to some people that, you know, may praise you too high because you may go in a world that is not really what it appears, and put yourself in, you know, some type of facade. And he taught us a lot of, you know, small things that, that I would carry in. For life, man.
You know, Jeremiah, I'm talking to you right now, and it seems like it might be relatively easy. For instance, when I look at what you bring to it athletically, and then you have this great mindset, you think, you know, this is all pretty logical, it's all part of the process, but the fact of the matter is, it wasn't easy. As an example, as a freshman, you were on the scout team. Then you broke your foot starting your college career that way, and that could really frustrate a young athlete. It could derail some guys, but those around you said that you just stayed locked in, you continued to learn, and you kept improving. When you look back, what were those first 2 years in college like for you? How challenging were they?
Man, they were rough, man. Especially, you know, coming from a place like we're talking about again, coming from 757, where, you know, it's always competition, and you're always, you know, if you're good, you're on the top of the food chain. And to take a step back, to be able to almost have a fresh start and restart, and, you know, look at the things that are around you, and, you know, looking at people play, looking at people, you know, excel while you just watch it. It's a tough aspect of the game, and but I had to understand early that, you know, it's not the good things that happen that make a man better, but it's the bad things that happen and how that man can persevere through those things, and it's his resilience that will push him forward. So, you know, those are tough years, but all in all, man, when you look back at it and you look back at how much perseverance that took, you know, you appreciate it, and you appreciate the game of football. You play the game of football even with, you know, a heightened attitude because of your appreciation for it and all the lessons that it teaches you. So
I want to ask you a couple of things before you go. Having said that, I think that you're wise beyond your years. As a young person, I think you got a different kind of mindset. For instance, when I was your age, when I was in college, I'll tell you what I was thinking about. I was thinking about me. Now, you're known for your work in the community, but I want to bring this up. When you were at Notre Dame, as a student athlete, you would speak at juvenile detention centers. You would go to churches. Why was that something that was so important to you at that age and even now?
Yeah, Absolutely, man. It goes back to foundation. Growing up in the household, my mother raised us pretty well, and my father was there as well. And both of those key people in my life, very spiritual, and they led us in the right direction in terms of spirituality, not just talking about the Bible or not just talking about a spiritual book, but really talking about the appreciation, the understanding, grow your inner man. And that's something that's important to me. I'm not trying to push my beliefs on anyone, but the aspect of becoming a better person, becoming a better man, becoming a better woman, those things are important to me and ultimately are important to the world in its growth. So, the foundation.
Respect. All right, so this is an enormous Cleveland Browns house. I love that team. I love that organization. I love that town. I love that fan base, and that's come from somebody who has done this a long, long time. So tell the fans exactly what can they expect from number 28 this season. What are they getting in you as a player and a man?
Man, I mean, they're getting action. We're obviously having an interview. We're speaking of words, but I'm ready to get to work. They're getting a guy that is committed, that is 100% ready to work, 100% ready to learn, 100% ready to lead. They're getting a guy that is agile, that has a chip on his shoulder, and that is really understanding in terms of what the Cleveland Browns is trying to bring forth in terms of their culture and in terms of ultimately leading to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I love that response. They're getting action. Like, we're getting words right now because it's an interview, but they're going to get action. Jeremiah, quick follow. Like, the chip on the shoulder, from your standpoint, you're a really humble guy. You're a very humble guy, very appreciative guy. You got great perspective. Where is your chip on your shoulder coming from?
My chip on my shoulder comes from what I was speaking on earlier in terms of my appreciation for the game. My appreciation to grow, to understand more, to be the greatest, to be humble, a humble worker. That, my chip on the shoulder, it doesn't come from a specific situation, but it comes from a bunch of experiences and a bunch of situations that have happened over a period of time that have led to my my appreciation for football and also my appreciation to understand the game. So,
Dude, you know what? Normally when you hear chip, you think that it's kind of like negative fuel or adversity. This sounds like a positive chip. Is there such a thing as a positive chip on your shoulder? Is that what it is? Are you running on positive fuel?
Look, positive, negative, both of the energies can help you grow. I would say it's a combination of both.
Good. I like it. He's a Buck. Yes, sir. I like that. He's a Buckus Award winner and ACC Defensive Player of the Year. A unanimous All-American as well. The Browns got themselves a linebacker. Jeremiah, great to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Much love. Thank you, man.
Much love. I appreciate that. Well done. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Love that interview. I love a guy like that. Really good dude, really good player, really good background. Ending the interview by saying much love. Much love, bro, and respect.